Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Laborers for Christ, Word Life Center, Spiritual Growth and Development. You are joining us in a very exciting season and time, and our Wednesdays will look a little different, and we encourage you to keep track of your emails so that you may get the update of all that is going on in this season of the ministry life. We are excited to come to you on Wednesday between the hours of 7 and 8:30 for innovative information, revelation, and direction for this season in our life. We are located on the upper level of Bethany Union Church at 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, Illinois. It is imperative that you come out and fellowship, touching and agreeing to receive our instructions in this season. We encourage you to enlist in prayer, doing a prayer watch, those focuses that are going to be shared and brought before you. We encourage you to refresh your mind and refresh yourself before the Lord as it relates to your assignment in this season. We are always required and encouraged to be faithful and diligent in those things concerning the Lord. And we ask that in this season, we will surrender to the Lord and present ourselves for use in the kingdom in these days. The days are bringing the fulfillment of the scripture. Get in your word. Know what the word says about these coming days. And so at this point, we would like to ask you to join us at the physical location, and it is live, Laborers for Christ, physical location. You are live and on the air. And we give it over to our physical location. You're on the air. You are ready and you are live. You may need to take your phone off mute and speak up. You are live and on the air. You are not muted. Times like this, sometimes the physical location will need to hang up and dial back in. But you are live and on the air.
All right, so we're just going to start. We're going to start over again. We definitely want to welcome the Blog Talk family and those that are here on site. We definitely want to thank our Kingdom Church for opening us up in prayer. We are going to begin to look at the development and furtherance of an apostolic community. The development and furtherance of an apostolic community. Probably over the next month or so, our structure on Wednesday evenings is going to shift a little as we are preparing to move into our own location. And so we're going to do about 30 minutes of some teaching to prepare us for this next, for this shift, for this next transition. And then after that, we're going to do some working. Right. We're going to pack and play and sip and paint, and it's just going to be kind of like this really cool worship and work. Yeah. Experience. Worship and work, or work and work. A working worship. You know, part of an apostolic community is having their own dialect and language. And so there is some language that if you're just not a part of LLC, it just don't make sense. And so, you know, one of our new things is going to be this working worship that we're going to have going on. And so we're just going to bless the Lord as we feel about. All right. However, we're going to look at the development and the furtherance of an apostolic community. And as we do that, our primary focus on today is going to be on wineskins. And so for your reading, we're going to look at Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 16th and 17th verse, Mark, the 2nd chapter, the 21st and the 22nd verse, and then Luke, the 5th chapter, the 37th and 39th verse. And so we're just going to start at Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 16th through the 17th verse. Pastor Marlette.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus replied at an impassioned verse, "How can the son of the bridal chamber grieve when the bridegroom is next to them? But the days of fasting will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. And who would mend worn out clothing with new fabric? When the new cloth shrinks, it will rip, making the hole worse than before. And who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually, the wine will ferment and make the wineskin burst, losing everything. The new wine is spilled and the wineskin ruined. Instead, new wine is always poured into a new wine skin so that both are preserved."
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can we have Mark, the 2nd chapter, the 21st and the 22nd verse?
Okay. Hold that. Two. Our 21st and 27th. Okay. And who would then worn out clothing with no fabric? When a new clothes string and a grip, making the hair worse than before.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. And who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually, the wine will ferment and make the wine.
And nobody puts new, unfermented wine into old wine skin, because if he does, the wine will burst the skin. They will lose both the wine skin and the wine. No, only the appropriate thing is to put new wine into new wine skins.
Amen. All right, and then Luke, the 5th chapter, the 37th through the 39th verse.
And no man put new wine into old bottles. Now the new wine will burst the bottle and be filled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also has drunk old wine, straight faith, desires new, for he says the old is better.
Amen. Yes, please do. Yes.
And nobody takes freshly squeezed juice and puts it into old, stiff wine skin. If he did, the fresh wine will make the old skin burst open, and both the wine and the wine skins will be ruined. New demands new. New wine for new wine skin. Anyway, those who never taste the new wine won't know what they're missing. They'll all say the old wine is good enough for me.
Amen. I think that's phenomenal. Wow. So remember, our focus is on the furtherance of creating apostolic community. And so as we are preparing to do this shift, we want to understand, first of all, we want to be prepared to become new wineskins. So old wineskins, it's the old, inflexible way of doing things, which includes or is not limited to our thought process, our systems of operation, and things that have become outdated, stale, or immovable. Mm-hmm. And so while old wineskins were new wineskins in a season, in a season forthcoming, as we've been looking at this prophetic and apostolic movement, we have to realize that when what once was can no longer be. So it isn't that it is bad. It's just not what the tools that we need to use moving forward. So when we talk about new wineskins, we're referring to this new flow or operation and or manifestation of the season of the Holy Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit is constantly pouring himself out, by what manner are we receiving him? Are we receiving this fresh, current manner or revelation, the movement, the momentum, the manifestation, maturation, the miracles? I added an M. One of them don't go there. I think it's movement. It doesn't belong. Okay, I got one wrong. Okay. But are we receiving it or trying to process it in an old wineskin? So you know how you have this expectation that God is going to do this, this, and this, and then when he does it, because he didn't do it with the mindset of our familiarity, then we're disappointed or we're discouraged or flat out he didn't do it. But this new movement, is going to require a new wineskin, and it's going to require for us to say goodbye to the old wineskin, because the old wineskin served us well. The old wineskin brought us to this point. So when we begin to look at wineskins in general is just the concept by which we contain the flow of God in our life. Is that solid? It's the concept by which we contain the flow of God in our life. So do we have a current and a progressive revelatory and apostolic concept?
I should be writing.
But at any rate, a current and progressive revelation concept, apostolic and revelatory concept. How are we processing the Holy Spirit right now? Is our expectations old? Or are our expectations current? Are we trying to hear God with ears that have not been yet anointed for this season, for this movement? Are we speaking with the understanding of how he used to move, not with the insight of how he desires to move? We can even be at the place of how he's moving, but you know when he moves, that's old. So are we progressing at the pace that we desire to receive that? Yeah, that was simple. We stated. So wineskin is just the concept by which we contain the flow of God in our life. And so when it was the old wineskin, that wineskin becomes brittle or rigid. It becomes set in its own ways or stuck in a methodology, stuck in its own thinking. But new wineskins anticipate a flow of the Spirit which anticipates the flow of the Spirit which will not sit in an old wineskin. Mm-hmm. So when we, as we've been talking about, it's like the scripture, and we're going to go back to those three scriptures, which are the same scriptures written in the Synoptic Gospels, okay? So different because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all wrote to a different group of people with a different passion. I just want you to hear their language, okay? We are not going to rewrite the scripture, but we are going to write an interpretive understanding of the scripture from a prophetic and apostolic perspective. Did we get that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, did we really get that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good, because I want to remember it. So new wine refers to the flow. It refers to the operation. It refers to the manifestation and the season of the Holy Spirit. What season is the Holy Spirit in this place now? The prophet will let us know, because the Lord won't do anything before he first reveals it to the prophet. That's a beautiful ministry, I tell you. So when new wine is poured out of heaven, a different sociological structure is needed to house it. Let me do that again. When new wine is poured out of heaven, a different sociological and psychological perspective, economical perspective as well, is needed to house it. So new wine represents the inbreaking of the kingdom, while wineskins represent how we're functioning. So how are we going to receive the breaking in of the kingdom of God with this new wine? So what aspect of the kingdom of God does he desire to infiltrate us with? Okay, so I love it. Okay, so this is kind of what I want us to think about. A fresh expression is based on the mythological theory of remissioning. Simply stated, remissioning means doing church for people who don't do church in a way that fits their sociological, psychological, economical, relational thinking. The gospel is the same, but everything else might be different. The way our church does church now is a result of how we thought. It's a result of our sociological thinking, our sociological way of doing things. In other words, we need to look at a way into the way we do church now and see if that way of doing church is appropriate for reaping in the heart. So, how do you say it? We don't want to recycle things. We don't want to be the next hot thing. We want to be relevant for the people that don't understand the relevancy of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be soul millionaires. How's that? How do you reap in? So how do we, you're like it, how do you do laborers for people that don't know nothing about church? You said, Lord, have mercy.
We don't figure
it
out now.
Amen. Okay, that's what we have to do. How do you do laborers? How? And so remember what we said is the Holy Spirit wants to break in his kingdom in this church. In my house are many. He wants to break in the kingdom in the church. Same concept. And so how do we do that for people that don't know anything about the king or his kingdom? Okay, so we'll put a pin there, and then we'll pause, and then we come back. How do we prepare the leaders? Because we still have, our mandate hasn't shifted. How do we prepare the leaders to lead apostolic and prophetically of people who don't understand being led? How do we position ourselves in our thinking to, as leaders, to prepare ourselves to be relevant to the unchurched? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're the leaders who the Holy Spirit see where they are or where people are. And then in turn, we teach or direct them to the place that God wants them to be. Some come in the church and see them praying and laying on hands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have other people that come in and never see, have never saw that before. So how do we adjust that to them? And it's through knowledge, wisdom, and teaching, and explain them what God is doing and we see in the time of their lives. And I ask just a question more. I was in the store and I was doing this, you know, cut my hands, and things hurt a little bit. And the person that was right on me looked at me, and I said, "Oh, I just don't have the pain. It's my nerve."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But how do you know it's not something that God is doing you with you? So I thought. And I believe that, you know, that to be taught, that's the way to use the word. So even the ones that never been in church can recognize the movement of God. And leaders, I don't know if they become, but have to gain knowledge of God's movement, even to the least one of us.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? So we're going to do a brief exercise because we know. So one thing we know is that we need new what?
Wineskins.
And the new wineskins is where it's going to house the new people. Okay. So and it's going to house this new concept of ministry and worship. So let's just take a few minutes. I don't know what time it is, but let's just take a few minutes and write down what constitutes a church. What has to happen in any service for it to be a church service? Like if we didn't do this in church, we have not had church.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said we didn't pray. If we didn't read scripture, if we didn't sing songs of praise and worship, what else?
Some kind of preaching, ministering the word.
Right.
Minister Word. Anybody else? What has to happen?
Somebody but, to stand before the people.
Stand before the
people. You know. You know.
Offering, call to salvation. Okay, so what happens if in all of that, if that's not the format, because this is a format, this is a structure. What if this structure represents old wineskins? Or this format. Of course.
The other week, I was with my sister. She was playing on Jordan. And they didn't open the door in the church. And it was only went with her. She found the church. So it was like, she didn't want to go up there and say something. I was like, I was happy about her joining the ministry because I feel like she just has the history of our family being close. Everything she does is just out of tradition or loyalty to the family, not her own choice. So I was like, you know, can't, you know, we've been praying about this for months. You know, we can't miss this opportunity just because they didn't open the door to the church. So she really, if I hadn't been there, she probably would have. But I thought, I was like, you're so offensive, you know, if your heart's on church, pray, can you say that for the Lord? So she went up there, you know, but, you know, in her mind, she's like, you don't have to take it because she's from different backgrounds. Couldn't believe that that didn't happen. But I've been there before and it has happened. So it just happened to be one of those contexts where, you know, everybody's going to work it out. Well, it just, you know, something just didn't happen to say.
I think that's important because for us, if maybe not the order, but if we don't do a certain group of things, then we feel like we haven't been to church. But what if the only thing the Lord needs us to do is be in the place and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, that's the only thing. And what if the only thing the Lord wants us to do is be in the place and the spirit of laughter falls? That's it. As long as it's pointed to Christ and people can be transformed in his likeness, you've had service. Go up.
One of the first times we did silent worship, well, it was the first time that I attended when we did silent worship. And we were, I believe it was the AN conference. I can't remember which one of the hotels we were, but nevertheless, we were in there, and it was a Friday night. And it was really nice. That's not the right word I want to use, but it was very powerful. But the thought in my mind kept being, but people not going to think they're in church. People not going to do what they're sitting. So it really prohibited me from, let's say, getting what I need, experiencing that level of worship because I was too busy worried about how other people are doing. You know, does somebody need to yell hallelujah? You know, something to engage people in worshiping. And I didn't think about it until just now as someone who stands before the people, you know, to worship. You know, that is something you look for as a response. So was it really praise and worship if nobody looked like they were into it? You know what I mean? So the same concept of worship, the same concept with a worship service and having gone to church, my expectation of it. And I love silent worship. I get the whole concept of it, but, you know, what I know to do, you know, I love it, but I didn't necessarily embrace it the first time, too busy worried about what other people, you know, were thinking that if they were receiving.
And I was going to say, it was like possibly after the experience, when we came back here in Rome to King for service, church never was the same as me, but you came and you were the participation of the move of God. And sometimes we didn't have a flow or what the third, it was just going to flow the way the Holy Spirit wanted to. And I think it hits the bump, it totally lived that much better because God was, you know, you came with anticipation, internet, but you had been worshiped and praised God weeks before you had to come into the door for them, you know. And so when you get into, you know, his presence, you brought his presence with you. So church has not been, and I think that's what the new wine is, when you just come ready to receive what God has in it, told you.
Amen. He said Jesus has risen.
Yes,
sure. Yes. That's it. At the end of the day, if you miss that, you miss the way.
The death, the burial, the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Jerizim taught me. I mean, you know what they used to say, Jerizim,
mm-hmm.
is when you're up there, you don't preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection, mm-hmm. then you didn't preach the word, the good news. That's what,
right.
That's one of the pastors used to say.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what they teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is definitely a taught concept. And so what I want us to understand, or just begin to consider, is that this new wineskin is what the new people need.
Mm-hmm.
And the new people doesn't mean new faces. If any man be in Christ, he is a... Okay, so old things have... Behold. So as we grow in our vertical, our horizontal relationship with people, it should produce vertical growth first. And so as a result, we're not the same person, we're not the same people that we were. And so sometimes we're looking for the same experience, but we're not the same people, so we should not look for and or anticipate the same experience. And so, you know, that's just something for us to consider. Let's go back to our scripture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go on. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, wherever you go.
Look, nobody tears up a new garment to make a patch for an old garment. If he did, the new patch would shrink and rip the old, and the old garment would be worse off than before. And nobody.
Pause. Let's pause. So nobody tears up a patch to make it for what? So how do we ensure that we don't do patchwork Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to make sure is that we're not doing patchwork Christianity. We're not trying to keep what we have and just kind of figure out how to get you in right here so it'll work. But that we're pliable enough to know, oh, you need us to ditch this? No problem. It's out. It's gone. Here's
pleasure.
Where you're looking for us to go. All right.
I mean, if you read the scripture, to not ditch it makes the garment worse.
Mm-hmm.
It says it will shrink and rip the old garment, and it would be worse off than before.
So have we ever spiritually outgrown the spiritual garment, and not because it was a garment issue, because it wasn't so much that it was an issue with the garment. It was what we were trying to do to preserve it that made it no longer useful.
Mm-hmm.
So because we came up with all these really cool, innovative ways to preserve a concept when the Lord wanted us to ditch the concept. Patchwork Christianity. Go on.
And nobody takes freshly squeezed juice and puts it in old, stiff wine. If he did, the fresh wine would make the old skin burst open, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. New demand.
Pause for a minute. Have you ever poured a drink in a cup that has something else in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or put people that might make you go back and get some more food and you put it on your old plate? it really has an impact, okay? So I believe part of what we have to understand is to receive, we have to be emptied and cleaned up. Not, Lord, give it to me, give it to me. I'm going to make room. I'm just going to make room. I'm going to make room. And at some point, we become hoarders as Christians. I got all this stuff. I don't remember when I got that. I forgot I had that because that was here under this other thing. And so there's no productivity in that.
Mm-hmm. New demand, new. New wine for new wineskins. Anyway, those who never tasted the new wine won't know what they're missing. They'll always say the old wine is good enough for me.
And so how many people, the way we've been doing it is fine. Don't fix something that's not broke. I'm comfortable with this. Or I just learned this, and now it's outdated. You know, if you're into technology, you know, the moment you buy a computer, a new version is coming out, and it becomes outdated and obsolete. And so just wanting to make sure that we don't become outdated and obsolete because we have not that we have not allowed ourselves to be updated, but we have to allow our whole system to be wiped clean and a new system put in.
And it goes with the question you asked, are we progressing at the pace we desire to receive? And I love that. And what season is the Holy Spirit in right now? You know, not past season, but what season is the Holy Spirit in right now? At the scripture, the concept of new, it says new demand, new requires new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so one of the, I got the tip of my head, one of the laws within the contract of new is that it demands new. You can't even proceed forth in this kind of newness without demanding something new.
So we are going to follow this concept along. I believe part of what how you answered, Prophet Connie spoke to assignment, and it spoke to the anointing, that combo, and understanding assignment and anointing prophetically, not prophetic, but prophetically, progressive, prophetic, okay? And I think that progressive prophetic concept is very, very important because we look to be the fulfillment of a prophetic word or a prophetic thought, but not of a prophetic expression that is ongoing and continuous and picks up along the way of becoming.
That's the now mindset. That's just enough.
Just enough
mindset,
right now.
Not,
yeah. Just enough light for the step I'm on. When the whole thing is, as she said, you know, I want you to walk on water, and you're looking and going, it's muddy, it's too deep, whatever. Or better yet, who walks on water? And he goes, well, if you just step out and walk, and you're going, you know, I'm adding it up. I'm just trying to make sense of it. And while somebody else is just stepping out and you look and go, how are they walking on water? And he says, I have gone before you and made the path. You just didn't understand the path was going to emerge up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
He just asked you to walk.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to worry about the path. Again, the plan he says in Jeremiah, I have a plan. We're not to get the plan. We're just to get the vision and the vision and the strategy of the plan that already pre-exists. That's why I wanted kind of every week share a half hour or so that we're going to share along this line. And so I want us to begin to look, what are the things needed to have a progressive, revelatory, apostolic, and prophetic worship experience. And as we understand that, as we begin to receive insight on this new wineskin, what are the people, what's the audience that such a wineskin is being created for? And are we too churchy for unchurched? Are we relevant as a church? All right. Block Talk, I know you're there. We're getting your text. Any insight?
No.
No?
Hold on.
All right. Well,
there you go. You're live on Blog Talk.
Hi, Apostle. It's Katie.
Hello, Evangelist.
When you were talking about being able to walk on water, I was reminded of a vision where I have been standing on a precipice at the top of this mountain, and the Lord was showing me a place far off where He was taking me to. But in between that was nothing but forest and wilderness. There's no paved road at all, no way around it, you know, unless He was going to teach me to fly, that kind of thing. And usually in my dreams, it's either flying or swimming, breathing underwater, stuff like that. But what I was reminded of in thinking about that is that this ministry is the kind of ministry where we don't necessarily see the path, but because our leadership steps out on air and walks and does things unusual, that we're able to then see what the leadership is walking on and follow that. Where the scripture talks about writing the vision, making it plain, that kind of thing. So it's always been that, as our children watch what we do and they do what we do, not necessarily what we say. And you were talking about being relevant. It's only going to be in the doing that the unchurched will see God and want to follow that. That was the only thing that I saw with regard to us being relevant to the unchurched, because they're definitely there and they're watching from afar and they're coming. Their season, their revival season is coming. We've been so busy sometimes looking and judging, and I'm not, pointing a finger saying us, but we've been so busy pointing fingers and being judgmental that God has been having to deal with us because we've been judgmental and pointing fingers at the people that He intends to bring into right alignment. You know, we were all once out of alignment at some point in our life, and that's just where they happen to be at the moment. So that was the one thing with regard to us being relevant. It's only going to be in the stepping out on air and walking on air, not necessarily just water, but being able to breathe underwater and doing those things for those who are watching, that they'll want it.
Amen. That's it. How many unchurched people would want to be churched after viewing our presence? So, you know, and that's just, you know, not necessarily because something was wrong. It could be any number of things, but those are the things that we have to address. All right, anybody else on Blog Talk have something they want to share before we close? No. All right. Well, remember that moving forward, we will start at 6:30. We will spend a half an hour or so looking at the development and furtherance of an apostolic community, just kind of keeping our, just in preparation for where the Lord is taking us. And so we'll spend some time teaching, and then we'll spend some time worshiping, okay? So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we will see you all on next Wednesday. Bye-bye for now. Yes.
Amen. Excellent.